Theo grabs a wooden spoon, drums the counter. He can keep time. I wonder if there is anything he isn't good at. Whatever.
Seriously? You're starting to sound like one of us Wood Valley brats.
Fine. Of course, Theo is right, just like Scar was. I need to be better, stronger, more courageous. A ninja, but not really, since we need to talk, not fight.
Fine what?
Fine, I'll talk to him.
Good. Glad we had this chat.
He chucks me under the chin, like this is the 1950s, and I'm his son who hit a homer in a Little League game. You are a ridiculous human being. Do you know that? I ask.
I've been called worse.
Me. Fine, let's talk. Nice move deploying Theo.
Dad. Didn't deploy Theo, but happy you want to talk. This has been torture. I miss you.
Me. Now you're the one being a little melodramatic.
Dad. I read a parenting book, hoping it could help. It was total crap.
Me. What did it say?
Dad. To give you some space.
Me.
Probably
didn't factor in the size of the house.
Dad. When can we talk? Where?
And it has come to this. My dad and I need to schedule our makeup. I remember how normal things used to be between us. Not only normal, but natural. Before, you know, before. My mom would cook us dinner each night, and we'd all sit around the table and chat. We had a game where we'd each share one thing that had happened since the night before. And I remember I used to save up anecdotes. That Mr. Goodman called on me and Kem, and I didn't know the answer. That the smoothie bandit had come back to the king and nicked some kid's drink. That Scar and I were partners for the science fair, and we wanted to build a volcano because it's fun to occasionally be cliché. I remember I would sift through my day, like picking a filter for a photo, and choose the story I wanted to present to my parents like an offering. Not unlike SN and our three things, come to think of it. What would my mom want to know about the last 24 hours? Maybe I'd have told her about the kale juice. Or SN's message this morning, counting the number of minutes till we're going to meet. Or best of all, Ethan's,
I think you should say no,
which I haven't stopped replaying on a loop in my head. 6 perfect words. Then again, maybe not. Maybe I'd have kept that nugget just for myself. Me. I don't know. Later? Dad.
Deal.
Jesse, you mind staying for a minute? Mrs. Pollock asks me after English, and my stomach drops. What did I do this time? According to Crystal, Jem's out with a stomach flu and is, like you know, puking her guts out, hashtag jealous. So the day has been uneventful. Which is a relief, since I'm in a striped cotton dress that I'm sure would have made me a perfect target. A little girlier than I normally wear. But damn, it's hot here. And so I stay in my seat while the rest of the class files out. Ethan gives me a curious glance, and I shrug, and he smiles and mouths, good luck, on his way out. And I want to pocket that smile, and his words, carry them around with me like a talisman. My own goofy smile lingers on my face too long after he has left. Ethan's fault. I just wanted to talk to you about last week. I owe you an apology, Mrs. Pollock says, and this time she doesn't sit backward in her chair. She stays behind her desk, like a proper teacher. She has given up the whole buddy-buddy thing, which actually wasn't the problem. Her blame was, I spent the whole weekend thinking about our conversation, and I realized I handled it all wrong. I stare at her, thinking of the right words to say. Thank you. No problem. No big deal. It's okay. It's not your fault Jem is a total bitch, I say, and then look up in horror, I didn't mean to say that second part out loud.
Mrs. Pollock smiles, which is a relief, because I wouldn't know how to explain to Ethan that we got an F on our wasteland project just because I have a big mouth. Until last week, Mrs. Pollock was my favorite teacher, and not just because I was grateful to her for not making me stand up in front of the class on the first day of school.
When I was in high school, I wasn't particularly cool.
Actually, that's a lie, she says and shrugs.
I was tortured, really bullied, and when I saw what happened with Jem, I didn't know what to say. I just wanted to help.
Mrs. Pollock looks a little teary. Maybe no one ever gets over high school. She is shiny-haired and beautiful now, a grown-up Jem. It's hard to believe she ever looked any different.
I just wanted to say sorry. I've been watching you, and you so know who you are already. Most girls your age don't have that comfort in their own skin thing, and that's probably what makes you threatening to Jem, she says, and I wonder what the hell she's talking about. I don't know anything about anything.
Anyhow, high school is just the worst.
Funny that you became a high school teacher then, I say, and she laughs again.
Something I should talk to my therapist about. Speaking of which, you could speak to the school counselor if you want. We have a psychiatrist on staff. A life coach, too.
Seriously?
I know, right? Finding ways to justify the tuition. Anyhow, if not them, feel free to come talk to me anytime. Students like you are the reason I chose to teach.
Thanks.
By the way, I look forward to your and Ethan's wasteland paper. You're two of my brightest students. I have great expectations.
Dickens is next on the syllabus. A literary pun. No wonder Mrs. Pollock was destroyed in high school.
We intend to reach Wuthering Heights, I say, and as I walk by, she reaches her hand up, and I can't help it. Dorks unite! Nerd power! I give her a high five on my way out.
Later, at Book Out Below, which is customer-free, I sit behind the counter, message SN. So far, I have successfully avoided Liam since I've been back from Chicago, and I am relieved that he's not working today. If he is really planning to ask me out, I have no idea how I'll say no.
Me. Are you sure we should meet?
SN. Yeah, I think so. Why? You getting cold feet?
Me. No, it's just, you could be anybody. It's different for you. You know who's going to show up.
SN. Well, I promise, I'm not a serial killer or anything like that.
Me. Serial killers don't usually confess to being serial killers. In fact, isn't that the first thing a serial killer would do? Say, I'm not a serial killer, nope, not me.
SN. True. Don't take my word for it. Let's meet in a public place. I won't bring my scary white van or candy.
Me. And where should we meet, Dexter Morgan?
IHOP. Really?
SN. Yep. Love IHOP. They have pancakes that look like happy faces. I have a thing at 3, so how about 3:45?
Me.
Okay. How will I know who you are?
SN.
I know who you are, remember?
Me.
And?
SN. I'll come introduce myself, Ms. Holmes.
Me.
Brave man.
SN. Or woman.
Me.
Exclamation points.
SN.
Kidding.
The bell rings. My head lifts up. It's become Pavlovian.
Please don't be Liam, I think.
Fortunately, it's not. Unfortunately, it's my dad.
So, this is where you work,
he says and looks around, his fingers brushing spines, just like mine do. He isn't the reader my mom was, but he still appreciates the magic of books. When I was little, he would read to me all the time. He was the one who introduced me to Narnia.
It couldn't be more perfect. I'm so happy for you.
I like it,
I say, and wonder if that's how we are going to do this. Pretend that we never fought in the first place, that we haven't gone something like 14 days without speaking.
Beats making smoothies, I hope.
My dad's wearing his plastic tag, his name printed under the words, "How may I help you?" The way it dangles on a steel clip makes me feel tender toward him, as if he came in here with a milk mustache. Yeah, though the Smoothie King has Scar. I miss her. He nods. We haven't even talked about my trip home. He hasn't asked. Well, that's not quite true. He texted and I ignored him, and I still haven't said thank you. Maybe Theo is right. I'm turning more Wood Valley than I realize. I wonder if Scar's mom called him afterward and reported back. I don't think she heard me throwing up or knew we were drinking in the basement. The few times I saw her, she gave me big hugs and said, "I missed my other daughter," which was sweet, so it doesn't really matter if it was only a tiny bit true.
I know.
He quickly looks around, sees that we are alone, nods as if to say, "Then we can talk."
I miss everything.
Everything means my mom. Funny that we can't just say those words out loud. But we can't. Some things are harder to say than others, no matter how much truer.
Can you believe it's 90 degrees in November here? That's just not natural,
my dad says, and settles on the floor with his back against the get-rich-quick shelf, his knees bent in front of him.
Never thought I'd miss the cold, and I don't, really. But this weather is unsettling. And the pizza sucks. Pizza should not be gluten-free. That's just wrong.
Lots to get used to, I say. Should I give him more? Should I get this party started? Say, "Dad, you moved us without even asking me. Just plopped me into a new school, a new life, said ta-da, and then abandoned me to the wolves." I stay quiet. Let him make the first move.
Listen, I know it's been hard, and I was so wrapped up in trying to adjust myself, make this work for us. I didn't do my job as your dad. I thought it would be easier. Everything. I was naive or desperate. Yeah. That's it. Not naive, but desperate.
He delivers this to the bookshelf in front of him, the children's section, which has always seemed a weird arrangement to me, and yet so L.A., money, directly across from the kids. My dad is staring at the cover of a book about crayons going on strike, the primary colors annoyed at being overworked by their owner. I shrug. I wish we could have this conversation on paper, or better yet, on a screen, in back-and-forth messages like I do with SN. It would be so much easier and cleaner. I'd say exactly what I want to say, and if the words didn't come out right, I could just edit them until they did.
Do you want to move back to Chicago? If that's what you want, we can do it. I wouldn't want you living at Scar's. We'd rent a place or something, and you could finish out school, and then I'd move back here when you go to college. If you were okay with that, of course. Rachel and I would figure it out. You're the most important thing in the world to me. If you're not happy, then I'm not happy. I know it hasn't seemed like that the last few months, but it's true.
I think about last weekend, Scar and Adam, her new life without me, how we've all moved on, forward, and how in some ways, moving back would just be moving backward. It's not like my mom is there, and I guess memories, as much as they can be held on to, are portable. Granted, Chicago would mean never having to feel bullied, a huge bonus, but Jem's not quite scary enough to make me flee the state. I think about the life I've built here, SN and Ethan, or maybe SN slash Ethan, Dree and Agnes, even Theo. Liam, too, I guess. How my new English teacher said I'm one of her brightest students, which is a huge compliment, considering I go to a school that sends 5 kids to Harvard each year. How Wood Valley may be filled with rich brats, but it also has a beautiful library, and I get to work in a bookstore, and I'm reading college-level poetry with a boy who can recite it back to me. In a strange way, thanks to Rachel, L.A. has turned out to be nerd heaven. I think about Ethan's smile, how I want to see it every day. No, I don't want to move back. Nah, I mean, I think about Chicago all the time, and for a minute there, all I wanted was to go home. But that's not what I'm mad about. It's not like it would even really feel like home anyway. I just feel, you know. My eyes fill, and I look at the cash register. The 9 button is wearing thin. I hate that I don't know how to say what I want to say.
You know you can talk to me about anything, right? I don't want you to ever feel alone.
And there, he said it for me, so I can say it out loud now. Dad, you kind of orphaned me. Like I lost both of you guys, and Scar too. You left me to figure it all out on my own. I did figure it out. Most of it, at least. Maybe Scar is right. I am more kick-ass than I give myself credit for. Can you imagine how lonely it's been for me? Not now. I mean, now I'm okay. But not so long ago, I felt like I didn't have anyone in the world, and you were out every night with Rachel or holed up with your laptop. It's not like I hate her or anything. I mean, I don't know her, actually. I guess... Thank her for my ticket, please. I pause, take a breath. Of course, I should do that myself, and I will. It's just, I moved into this house and have, like, this weird room with these big paintings on the wall, like a third grader did them. What's up with that? Anyhow, it's not the art, or even the soap with those strange letters which makes my hands smell nice. Really unfamiliar, but nice. But it's just not mine, you know? And it just... It sucked, Dad. I mean, it really sucked. I say. Nope. The tears have not retreated. They're back, spilling down my cheeks, and I'm at work. And I just hope the bell doesn't ring anytime soon. I think I have said more to my dad in the last 30 seconds than I have in the last 3 months. Sometimes when I start, when the words finally find themselves... I can't hold back the momentum.
Oh, sweetheart.
My dad stands up, and I think he's coming to give me a hug, so I wave him off. I don't want to cry on his shoulder. Not right now. I'm not ready yet.
I'm so sorry,
he says. I don't want an apology. I don't want anything. I'm mad at you, and I have a right to be mad at you, and I'll stop soon. You're my dad, and of course I'll stop. I get it. Our world exploded, and you just didn't have enough left over. I kind of did the same thing to Scar, and I wish I were stronger or better or something, and I didn't need anything from you. But I'm not, and I do. It would have been nice if we could have done this together, but we didn't. And it's done. We're here now, and we're making it work. But it's really sucked.
I think really sucked is too much of an understatement. It's fucking sucked,
my dad says, and he half smiles, and I can't help it. I smile back. He hates foul language. If this had been 2 years ago, there's no way he would have used the F word.
Okay, you can still be mad at me. Fair enough. But you can't stop talking to me again. I can't take that. I miss telling you something that happened each day. I've been writing things down so I could tell you when you started talking to me again. And we need to start spending time together.
Ew, no. I'm 16. I can't hang out with my father. I smile as I say it. I miss my dad. Probably even more than he misses me. That's, like, so uncool.
Let me give you one bit of parental advice, if I may. Cool is way overrated.
Says the guy wearing the plastic name tag.
Touché.
You love her, don't you? I ask, apropos of nothing. But it's not. Not really.
Rachel? Yeah, I do. I mean, I leapt in a little fast and we're figuring out the kinks, but yeah, I love her. But that doesn't mean...
I smile at him, bat away his words. He doesn't need to finish his sentence. I'm not a child anymore. I know that how he feels about her has nothing to do with me, or my mom for that matter. I know that love is not finite. And also this, I'll be leaving for college in less than 2 years. A part of me will be relieved to know he's not alone. I get it. My dad looks around again, breathes in the paper smell.
Mom would have loved this place, even its silly name, though probably not the exclamation point.
I know.
I love you, sweet potato.
I know.
My phone bleeps. Text from Scarlett.
Scarlett. Holy shit. We did it.
Me. Seriously?
It?
Scarlett.
Yep.
Me.
And?
Scarlett. Give us a 7, maybe an 8, which isn't bad for the first time. Hurt a little. And the whole condom thing was tricky. Trickier than with the banana. And it was awkward, you know? But still. Good. I think we'll do it again in a minute.
Me. Where are you?
Scarlett. In the bathroom. Had to tell you right away. And had to pee, so I'm multitasking.
Me. So Adam is still in your bed?
Scarlett.
Yep.
Smiley face.
Me. Did you just emoji me?
Scarlett. What can I say? I have it bad. Starting the pill next week to be totally covered.
Me. So happy for you, you little slut.
Scarlett. Love you.
Me. Love you too. XOXO. Tell Adam congrats from me.
What are you smiling at?
My dad asks, since I am apparently grinning goofily at my phone. Scar lost her V-card! I want to say it out loud because it's so exciting and I'm so happy for her, but no. No, I won't. Nothing, just something funny from Scar.
Her mom says she has a boyfriend,
my dad says, and I laugh, picturing Mrs. Schwartz and my dad gossiping about Scar and Adam. Yeah.
She's really dating Adam Kravitz? He was always a little shrimpy.
He's been working out.
Good for them.
They're happy.
Any guys in your life?
Dad, I say and blush. Realize that even if I wanted to tell my dad about Ethan, about SN, about all of it, it would be too confusing and complicated.
Right,
he says.
Remember when you were little, we used to ask how you got so big so fast, and you used to say, I growed?
My dad looks at his hands, which are not holding a phone like mine are, and have nothing to work out the nervous energy. My parents used to talk about my childhood all the time. Start stories with, remember? And then tell me about something I used to do. And then they would smile at each other, like it had nothing to do with me, as if to say, look what we pulled off. I shake my head. I don't remember.
Well, sweetheart, you've really growed. I'm sorry I haven't been here. But I'm so proud of you. And your mom would be too. You know that, right?
Do I know that? I know she wouldn't be not proud, which is not the same thing as proud. I'm not sure I'm ready to think about her that way yet, to wrap my head around the would-be part. Yeah, I say, mostly because of his empty hands and his name tag and the look on his face. It could be that this adjustment has actually been harder for him than for me. Of course I know that. SN, what was under the glass tonight?
Me, some sort of delicious fish and the big couscous. What's that called?
SN, Israeli.
Me,
ha, I know. Just wanted to make you use your shift key. I want to get you a t-shirt that says, No proper noun left uncapitalized.
SN.
And I'm the weirdo.
Rachel is waiting in my room when I get upstairs, sitting on my desk chair, again staring at the picture of my mom.
She was so beautiful,
Rachel says, by way of hello. She looks sad tonight, subdued, and is nursing a big glass of red wine. Again, her volume has been turned down.
Yeah, I say, but I am not ready to talk about my mom with Rachel. Not sure that is something I'll ever be strong enough to do.
Hey, you took the pictures off the walls.
I look around. The elementary school paintings, which I realize now are probably the work of some famous artist I should know about, are stacked in the corner, and it's just white in here, with a few nails left like punctuation marks.
I'm sorry. I hadn't even noticed them. My husband, Theo's dad, was in charge of decorating the house, and he picked them out. They're probably not the best choice for a teenage bedroom.
Rachel sips from her glass, rubs her arms, which are covered in a delicious cashmere.
You should put your own stuff up on the walls, posters or whatever. Make it yours.
Thanks for my ticket home. To Chicago, I mean, I say. That was really nice of you.
Rachel waves her hands like it's no big deal, and maybe it's not to her, but it is to me.
And we'll get you a new bed, a queen maybe? I didn't realize until tonight how ridiculous this one is. Oh, and I've told both of Theo's SAT tutors that you'll be joining in. Don't know how I didn't think of it earlier. Sorry about that. Her face falls, and I see she is near tears herself.
What happened?
I'm not sure I am equipped to deal with this.
Thanks. The bed's actually more comfortable than it looks. I mean, are you okay?
I can't just let her cry and not ask. That would be wrong.
Bad days. Good days. You know how it is.
Just because I found your father, who is wonderful, I mean, really, the best, doesn't mean this isn't all hard or complicated or that I don't miss.
She takes a deep breath, the kind that starts down in the belly, the kind you would only learn in a yoga class in California.
And I know Theo misses him, and I'm not enough, I'm just not. So it's hard sometimes. Sorry again for all the balls I've dropped. I shouldn't be in here.
It's okay, I say, though I'm completely at a loss. This is a house full of pain, of bad juju, as Theo said, but it's also a house of starting over. Maybe we need to light a few candles. Better yet, start putting things on all of the white walls.
You know, I mean, this place is beautiful, but maybe you should put out some pictures, too.
Of your husband. I mean your, other husband?
Theo's dad.
And if Theo is a kid, so he can remember.
Rachel looks at me, wipes her tears with her sleeve, and I try not to wince, because she's wearing mascara, and her sweater must be dry clean only.
That's a great idea, she says, and looks straight at me. Almost smiles.
This is tricky, isn't it? You and I?
I guess.
I've been trying hard not to try too hard with you, and then I worry I'm not trying hard enough, you know?
She stands up, walks toward the door, turns around to face me once more.
Yeah,
she says. We'll get there. Chapter 34. I'm early, so I sit in the first booth, a cowardly move that ensures I will see SN before he sees me. My back is to the rest of IHOP and their mountains of pancakes, and I watch the parking lot through the glass double doors. In just 15 minutes, I will meet SN. He will sit down across from me and introduce himself, and our entire virtual relationship
will become something real. We'll be brought into the light and into the here and now, based on something both more and less tangible. Spoken words. Of course, this could be a disaster. Maybe we'll have nothing to say to each other in person. He's probably not Ethan. I realize that now as I sit here with sweaty palms and wet armpits. Some things are too much to ask for. My hair was down, and now it's up, and I think I should put it down again. I spent much of the night debating what to wear. Dree said, "Be casual." Agnes said, "Be fabulous." I decided in the early hours of the morning that it would be weird to wear anything but my normal clothes, that I don't want to look like I'm trying too hard. Scar said, "Be yourself." But now, my stupid jeans and t-shirt feel too normal. I should have put on more makeup, done something, anything, to make me feel prettier. What if SN has only seen me from afar and is disappointed when he's sitting across from me? Am I one of those girls who misleads at a distance? I sit here, cataloging my flaws, hurting my own feelings. My chin is broken out. My nose is dotted with blackheads. My thighs expand on this plastic seat. No, this is not helping my nerves. The waitress brings me a cup of coffee, and I rip the lids off all the creamers in the bowl, make a pile of wrappers that I knock over and restack. I consider getting up and walking out. I don't need to meet SN. Let us continue as we are. Keep him as my phantom best friend, albeit one I like to flirt with. Dree, good luck. And if it turns out SN is Liam, then go for it. Me. Seriously? Dree. Yeah, I just have a crush. Whatever you and SN have is real. Me. I'm scared. I don't think he's Liam, though. Dree. Me neither. Me. You're a true friend. Dree. Don't you forget that when you and SN are madly in love and don't have time for anyone else, okay? Me. Ha! Dree. Is he there yet? Me. No. Dree. Is he there yet? Me. No. Dree. Is he there yet? I'm about to type back no again. I like this game. It's distracting and kind of funny. But then, he is here, and my stomach is in my feet. I feel my throat get tight, and tears wet my eyes, and I feel bad that I feel this way. I don't want to feel this way, but I do. How could I have been so wrong? It's Liam. Okay, SN is Liam. I try to recover, make sense of this. At least he's not Mr. Shackleman or Ken Abernathy. Liam is a good guy, coveted by the most beautiful girl in school. Surely this is a good thing. He doesn't see me yet. He's at the cash register, grabbing one of those free loose mints, the ones that supposedly have high concentrations of fecal matter on them, but I recognize him from behind. Liam. Liam is Liam is Liam. He turns around, and his face transforms when he sees me. He smiles, so bright that I wonder what I've done to earn his good cheer. All this time. Liam.
Fancy seeing you here, stranger, he says. Mind if I sit down?
I am mute. I want to take out my phone and type to SN. Sure, go ahead. And this, I don't understand. I resort to a nod. At least I know Dree won't be mad at me. At least there's that. I want to type, "You are not Ethan. I wanted you to be Ethan." But I know that's cruel. Like if he said to me, "I wanted you to be prettier."
"It's nice to see you," Liam says and folds himself into the booth across from me. He's graceful today, the way he is on stage, confident and fluid. Human origami.
"Yeah. You too," I say, and try to smile back. It doesn't quite reach my eyes.
"This is totally awkward, and maybe not the right time for this, but I've been meaning to ask if you want to, you know, have dinner with me sometime."
And there it is,
Liam is asking me out. For real. In real life. Not SN on the page, but SN in the flesh. But all I can hear is Ethan's voice. His words, which were also spoken out loud.
I think you should say no.
Still, that was before SN was Liam and Liam was SN. That was before the last 10 seconds, when everything changed. And what if this is what's real? Me and Liam, not me and Ethan. Maybe again I've had it all wrong. So what that it's sometimes awkward at the store, that I don't feel like Liam and I have much to say to each other? So what that he dated someone like Jem? People make bad decisions all the time. I take a sip of my coffee, look deep into the cup, push down the terror that is rising inside me, the desire to flee this booth. I need the extra time that my phone affords me, even just a few seconds to organize my thoughts. I try to picture what I would type right now. Typing would make this easier, using thumbs instead of my mouth. Yes, I'd write. Or maybe, sure. Or cool. Or... But before I can figure out what to say, I feel a shadow fall over our table. My first instinct is that Jem is here, and she's going to punch me, and that's how all this will end. Me knocked out on the floor. Which is ridiculous because it's not Jem, and punching is not her style. She's subtler than that. It's Ethan. Ethan. Ethan's here too, and now I'm confused and I don't know what to do. He sees Liam sitting across from me, and his face darkens and then goes blank. I want to see his smile, hear him say those 6 words one more time.
I think you should say no.
Surely that will help me make sense of all of this. That will give me a good reason to walk away from SN. Walk away from 3 things, and delicious midnight conversations, and everything that has kept me going for the last few months. SN is Liam. Liam is SN. A simple equation. Remedial math. Time to accept it.
Hey,
Ethan says, and there is pleading in his eyes. He's saying those 6 words without saying those 6 words, and so I don't answer Liam, not yet anyway, and I turn to Ethan. Buy time another way. Hey, I say. Then I'm sure I have this all wrong, that I'm actually dreaming, because all of a sudden, Caleb is here too, right behind Ethan, and of course, all 3 of them would be here for the great SN unveiling. This is a dream. It has to be, because the 3 of them can't be SN, and I've had dreams like this before, when they're all there, Liam, Ethan, Caleb, morphing into each other, swapping shirts. But no, Caleb is in gray, Ethan is the Batman, and Liam is wearing a button-down, because unlike his friends, he rotates his wardrobe. 1 point for Liam there. If this is a dream, next they will break out into song. Serenade me with The Girl No One Knows. No one is singing. This is not a dream. I dig my fingernails into my palms just to be sure. It hurts.
Howdy,
Caleb says, and looks from Liam to me, and back to Liam, and smiles as if to say,
Go for it, dude.
Do he and Ethan both know that SN is Liam, and they're here to see what happens? Or maybe they're all in on it, have shared the SN password and taken turns writing to me. Has this whole thing been one big joke? Is that the lie? There are 3 of them? I flash back to my dad's offer to take us home to Chicago, wonder if that's where this is all headed. Me, on a plane, humiliated and heartbroken.
Wait,
Ethan says, and takes a step forward and then one backward. It's an awkward dance, and his face reddens.
You're early. Dude, we're in the middle of something here,
Liam says, and looks at me again, as if to re-ask his question. Right. Dinner. If I weren't so disappointed, it would be cute.
S.N. starting our first conversation by asking me out on a proper date.
Liam,
Ethan says, and puts his hand on Liam's shoulder. Liam shakes it off angrily. I am so stupid. It's obvious these two have a problem with each other. There was drama there for a while, Dree said once. Liam replaced Ethan's brother in the band.
I think you should say no.
I've taken it all the wrong way. Those six words had nothing to do with Ethan wanting me. He just hates Liam. The realization is crushing.
Why are you always throwing shade?
Liam stands up to face Ethan. Months, perhaps years of pent-up aggression are spewing forth, and I'm unfortunate enough to get caught in the middle. Liam's hands are curled into fists, as if he is ready to throw punches right in the middle of IHOP, which is, of course, a dumb place to fight. There are children here, and polyester booths, and smiley face pancakes, multiple kinds of syrup. Some of the drinks even come with maraschino cherries. Caleb steps between Liam and Ethan puts his hands in the air. He has no interest in swinging or being swung at. Maybe he has no interest in me.
You've got it all wrong, man. It's not like that,
Ethan says, puts his hands down and into his pocket. He pulls out his phone.
Just give me one second.
Ethan's eyes are on me, not on Liam, and he's talking to me without talking to me. I don't know what he's saying. I just know I want to keep staring at him. Again, everything is too fast for me to understand, and also too slow, because I can hear the thump of my heart and the blood rushing in my ears, can feel the warmth of the coffee cup in my trembling hands. My phone beeps. I have a message. I look down. I pick it up. SN.
It's me.
I look up again. Ethan is smiling nervously at me. He's typing without looking. SN.
Me. Not him. Me.
SN.
Let me say this in caps. Me.
You? I ask out loud, without hands, the words right where I need them. Finally. Finally, realization dawning. My eyes are locked with Ethan's. I can't help it. I'm grinning.
For real? It's you?
Me,
Ethan says and holds up his phone.
You were early. We had an Oville meeting in the back that ran too long, and then he got to you first.
I look at Liam, who is rocking on his heels, confused and still angry, watching our conversation but not getting it at all. How could he? I barely understand. Ethan is Ethan is Ethan. Ethan is SN. Liam, I'm sorry. I can't. I mean, it's Ethan. It's him, I say, which makes no sense at all, but it doesn't seem to matter, because now Ethan is sitting down across from me in the booth, and we are smiling at each other, goofy and giddy, and it's easy, so much easier than it should be. Liam looks more confused than upset. Caleb shrugs and then rolls his eyes toward the door, as if to say,
"Give it up, man. She's not worth it."
"Whatever," Liam says, taking Caleb's cue, the words casually thrown over his shoulder as he walks out the door. Caleb shakes his phone at me and Ethan, apparently his generic goodbye, as he runs to catch up with Liam. "You?" I ask Ethan again, because I need it to be said one last time, to be sure that I'm not just jumping to conclusions and that I'm not dreaming.
It's nice to meet you again, Jesse. Jesse Holmes. I'm the weirdo who has been messaging you.
Ethan looks nervous, a question in his eyes.
Today so didn't go the way I meant it to.
I laugh. Because what I'm feeling is so much bigger than relief. What, you didn't expect to almost get into a fist fight?
No. No, I did not.
I can't believe it's you, I say, letting out the breath I didn't even realize I was holding. My phone beeps. SN.
Are you disappointed?
Me.
No!
SN.
Can I come sit next to you?
Me.
Yes!
Ethan switches sides of the booth, and now his thigh is up against mine. I can smell his Ethan smell. I bet he tastes like coffee.
Hello,
he says, and reaches up and tucks my hair behind my ears. Hello, I say. After we've talked for a while, it's like all those other times I've hung out with Ethan, but also totally different, because we're not working on a project. We're just together because we want to be. And I now know him, like really know him, because we've spent the last 2 months talking with our fingertips. Why? I ask. He closes the gap, puts his hand in mine. We are holding hands. Ethan and I are holding hands. I am not sure I ever want to give his back.
Why what?
Why did you email me that first day?
Since my brother... I feel like I've forgotten how to, how to talk to people. My dad made me go to this therapist, and she said that it might help to start writing instead. And when I saw you on the first day of school, there was just something about you that made me really want to meet you. You seemed lost in a way that I totally get. I decided to email. It felt safer to be undercover.
He shakes his head as if to say, yes, I'm strange. Have you written to anyone else? I ask.
I mean, a few times here and there. I like to watch people. I've told some kids stuff in the nicest way possible. I told Ken Abernathy that Jem was cheating off him in calculus. With you, it was different. Ours was a 2-month-long conversation.
So what you're saying is you're kind of like Wood Valley's Batman? He grins. Looks down.
Not really. This is my brother's shirt. It's silly, but whatever.
I like being able to ask you questions and you answering them.
I like you asking me questions.
Tell me 3 things, I say, because I love our 3 things. I don't want them to stop, even though we can now say them out loud.
1. Contrary to popular belief, I do not do drugs. Terrified of them. Won't even take Tylenol. 2. I memorized the first part of The Wasteland just to impress you. Normally, I play Xbox in the middle of the night, or read when I can't sleep. But I thought it would make me seem, I don't know, cooler or something.
It worked. It was totally dreamy. My voice is smiling. I didn't even know it could do that.
3. My mom's in rehab as of yesterday. I am not naive enough to be optimistic. We've been to this rodeo a few times. But at least it's something.
I don't know what to say. If we were writing, I'd probably emoticon you. I squeeze his hand. Another way to talk. No wonder Ethan can't sleep. His family life is even more screwed up than mine.
Your turn. 3 things.
Okay. 1. I was really hoping it was you. I was sure it was, and then I was sure it wasn't, and for that second, I thought you were Liam and I wanted to cry.
Liam's not so bad. I need to be nicer to him. Especially now. Oh man, he's going to break my legs.
Ethan smiles. He's not scared of Liam at all. No, he won't. He'll go back to Jem. And they can be prom king and queen or whatever, assuming you even do that here, and it will be fine. It's too bad, though, because I so want to set him up with Dree.
By the way, how right was I that you and Dree would be friends?
You were right. You were right about a lot of things.
2?
2. I stall. What do I want to say? That for the first time in as long as I can remember, I feel like I'm exactly where I want to be. That I'm happy to sit still. Right here. With him. 2.
Thank you for being my first friend here at a time when I had no one. It really made a difference. Now it's his turn to squeeze my hand, and it feels so good I almost close my eyes. Three? I don't have a three. My head is still spinning.
I have one.
Go for it.
Three. I want to kiss you. Like, very much. Please.
You do? I ask.
I do.
He says, and so I turn toward him, and he turns toward me. And even though we are in this random IHOP, and our table is full of the bizarre array of uneaten foods Ethan has ordered to allow us to keep our table for the past 3 hours, pancakes, of course, but also pickles and apple pie, everything falls away. It is just him and me. Ethan is Ethan is Ethan, and Jesse is Jesse is Jesse. And his lips touch mine. But sometimes, a kiss is not a kiss is not a kiss. Sometimes, it's poetry. Dear listener, in Tell Me Three Things, Jesse, my main character, keeps constant count of the number of days it has been since her mother died. Like Jesse, I also lost my mother at 14, and of course I'm not going to be coy and pretend that's a coincidence. It's not. And I used to do that too, the counting. I still do it, in fact, but now I count in years instead of days. I'm at 24. 24? How is that even possible? With Tell Me Three Things, I was finally brave enough to take a look at a period in my life that I long ago boxed up, put away, and marked with a big red label that read, Too Painful. I wasn't interested in exploring my specifics necessarily, but I very much wanted to delve into those feelings of first loss and their immediate aftermath. To look back at what it was like to be a teenager and to have the worst thing you can imagine happening actually happen. But at the same time, I very much did not want to write a dead mom book. Instead, I decided to combine the loneliness of first loss with something much more magical and universal, the beauty of first love. Jesse is not me. She's so much cooler and more together than I ever was at 16, or even am now for that matter. But she's a version of me, an alterna me, in the way that all of the characters I create somehow are. Tell Me Three Things was an opportunity to gift that me, but not me, to gift Jesse with the one thing I most wanted at 16, to feel truly seen, to feel known. Enter Somebody Nobody. One of the most amazing things about young adulthood is that it's a time that's chock full of firsts, some wonderful and some not so wonderful. At one point, Jesse says of her mother, she will never see who I grow up to be, that great mystery of who I am and who I am meant to be, finally asked and answered. Now, 24 whole years after my mother's death, a lot of my own questions have been asked and answered, even if my mom wasn't here to see it all unfold. Writing Tell Me Three Things reminded me of what it felt like when my world was forever widening. I can't thank you enough for listening. Though this may sound just like an ordinary audiobook to you, for me, it's one more magical first. My very first novel for young adults. Only took 24 years to get the courage. Julie Buxbaum. This is Georgina Marie. We hope you have enjoyed this unabridged production of Tell Me Three Things by Julie Buxbaum. This program was directed by Arthur G. Insana, executive producer Orly Moskowitz. Text copyright 2016 by Julie R. Buxbaum, Inc. Production copyright 2016, Penguin Random House, LLC. All rights reserved.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.